I'm Dane Young with UGASports.com with Brent Rollins, my co-author for Film Don't Lie. And Brent, bringing the big guns today. We had Chris Felica from ESPN on earlier this week, Stanford Steve as well. We're going around the college game day circuit. And tell me about who's sitting beside you.
Yeah, I think people know this guy. He's, I think, about to be officially a Hall of Fame, college football Hall of Famer, you know, induction a year, over a year ago, but now there. But we have Mr. David Pollock coming to you from a random beach house near a very nice ocean that we're hanging out at.
It's been a fun week. Brent's been taking a lot of losses in cornhole, so let's just put it that way.
He didn't say as much. Like, literally, I'm looking at show notes here, David, and he says, ask if I've beaten him at spike ball or cornhole.
Definitely not spike ball.
Me and his little son, his 14-year-old beat him, but me and my daughter could – yeah, it hadn't been going great. He won a couple cornhole games. You know, a blind squirrel can – you know, find a nut every occasionally, but nah. It's been fun, though, getting away. And now we hear about all the fun stuff.
When he gets bored, I can beat him in cornhole. And then he gets re-engaged, and then we go.
But we're down here with a bunch of Georgia fans that were really excited when they got the news about this week. That's for sure.
And that's obviously why we're here, talking about the additions of De'Aaron Kendrick and Arik Gilbert to Georgia's roster from the transfer portal. Like, your thoughts?
I think when you you're already set up to win. So that's you already have a team that's in the championship hunt. You lose your best offensive weapon, probably your best playmaker on the outside. And now you go, okay, let's go get another genetic freak and put him in. So I think having another guy like that right away, just another guy that you know is going to be a freak, helps the offense immediately. There's young guys, obviously, that you've seen, but you don't know what you're going to get. I think you know what you're going to get with Arik Gilbert. But I just think the confusion – I'm a defensive guy, so I'm not as offensively driven, but we set the strength of the formation to a tight end every play or to somebody every play. Who is that going to be for Georgia? Like, that's the beauty of having what they have now, of Arik Gilbert, Darnell Washington. Like, what are you going to label that personnel grouping? How are you going to set the front? What if they both come out at wide receiver? Like, I think it just makes this offense – a lot of fun. And then obviously the defensive side of the ball, what's the question mark that everybody had coming into spring, everybody had coming into this season, is the secondary going to be good enough? You just lost two, you know, top 40 picks in the draft in the secondary. How do you replace that? How do you get better? And, you know, let's just click a transfer portal button and the easy button, basically that little easy button at Staples. And let's go on the free agent market and grab a few guys that have already been there, done that. It's a pretty good offseason for Georgia.
Brent, when you and I put together the list of weapons that Georgia has on offense, it just jumps off at the page. So just as a whole, David, when you look at what Todd Monken has going on there, what possibilities do you see?
Endless. I mean, and it's what you need, by the way. You don't win with defense anymore. You don't win with 3 yards in a cloud of dust anymore. Like, you better be able to score quick, fast, and in a hurry. And I think – so you talk about Gilbert and you talk about Washington. I think a guy like Aaron Smith makes this offense even more fun, because now you got to cover the deep routes. The over routes become, even more fun to run. Now you got big weapons that can work underneath, around those over routes or work those over routes with them, with Washington, with Gilbert. So what are you missing? I mean, I think the only thing we talked about on the beach the other day, and you take it, is JT that guy? That, to me, like, because you win with transcendent quarterbacks. You don't win with really good quarterbacks anymore. Like Joe Burrow, look at Tua Tagovailoa. Like last year, obviously, was Trevor, or a couple years ago was Trevor Lawrence.
Mac Jones had a transcendent year a year ago.
So is he that guy?
I mean, from what we've seen, at least from a grade perspective, I think he's right around 88 passing grade. And you've seen high-level competence. I don't know that you've necessarily seen transcendent yet, at least there. But now – he has a full offseason to get his knee right and get his body right, a full offseason with his offensive coordinator and the weapons that we were talking about. And the fact that you have a high-level offensive coordinator who is just getting dudes open
layups
all day, every day. We talked about the layups that in the offseason that he provided for the quarterbacks. If you can just continue to hit those layups, you're going to score a lot of points.
And if you think about it, Mac Jones wasn't transcendent. Joe Burrow before wasn't transcendent. You surround them with phenomenal weapons. Ding, ding, ding. You got phenomenal weapons. a really good running game with Mac Jones last year that created balance. Joe Burrow had a really good running game that created balance. I mean, what's the missing ingredient? I think Georgia fans are probably as excited as they've been in a while, and we just hope that this is finally the year, because feel like we always get really excited and then something happens.
It seems like it's a sample size thing with JT right now, though, that his SEC action is limited, and it wasn't the top guys right in the conference, the top teams in the conference that he was performing against.
But the one thing I'll say about him is everybody you talk to in that building, we know he's got a good arm. I'm not saying it's the most elite. He's a natural thrower of the football, but more importantly, he's a worker. Like, they talk about it ad nauseum. Like, they've never seen anything like him in his notebooks, even when he was on scout team. Yeah, I mean, third downs and red zone. And, like, I think when you know you got that, that's a big deal. So I think that, you know, he'll be over-prepared and he'll be ready for whatever comes his way. You got a coordinator that creates those layups. I mean, you look at last year how good we were against Bama with Stetson Bennett. I mean, Florida, you saw the plays that were – the shot plays that were there time and time again. And – we couldn't complete it. So
just missing.
I think you definitely see the potential should be pretty crazy.
Brent, from a national perspective, what does this just mean for Georgia? I mean, I think we all thought that Georgia was right there with the Clemson and Bamas, but is it even more supplanted, I guess, heading into the season?
Yeah, I mean, they just have to prove it. I think now it's about proving it and doing it. And Georgia is what they are. They are a top five program. They're going to be in that playoff discussion, conference championship discussion, year in, year out. You're recruiting at too high a level to not be. It's just about now doing it. And the pieces are there. And, you know, we talk about the secondary part of it. You lost almost 2,300 snaps in the secondary from the draft, from the people transferring out, all that. And now you have – and you bring in not one, but two of the best – and possibly a third if Brandon turns into something, you know.
Either way, it's depth.
It's depth, it's bodies, it's competition. With the youth that you have. And now you feel, I think, confident about, at least confident from an on-paper perspective about them at the start of the season when something was going to be such a weakness.
But can you prove it, I think, is the national perspective for me with Georgia is, can you prove it? Can you do it in game? Can you make the right calls? Can you make the right adjustments? And by the way, you don't open with a cupcake. Like, you open with Clemson, and you got one mulligan. Like, the college football playoff has showed us you get one. You don't get two. So guess what? Bama ain't going nowhere, okay? I don't care what they lost. It doesn't matter. It's, if you've been living, you understand that. So I think right out the gate, you get a chance to prove it in a great way. But listen, the transfer portal – it's changing college football again. And again, to me, it's the rich get richer. Like, it's not – I just get to go tat. Like, the loser in this is high school kids that are going to develop and take time and come to your program and say, hey, come on in, three-star. Come on in, four-star, late in the rankings. Now it's like, no, that guy's played for 2 years. I know exactly what he is. I don't have to guess. I don't have to plan for the future. I'm just going to go tag him and tag you and tag him and – I mean, you see everybody do it. It's funny. Dabo was, like, very against it in the beginning. And I guarantee you that will change as well, just like everybody else, because it's just – it's an easy way to fix what you – and everybody wants to go win a natty. Nobody's going like, hey, I really want to transfer to NC State. Like, that's not in their plans. Everybody wants to go – how can I go get on a team to win a national championship? How can I go to the NFL? And who's putting people in the league? Clemson, Bama, Ohio State, the rich are going to continue to get richer and, you know, and they're going to get paid for it eventually too when their name and likeness comes in. So they'll be even more happy.
David, how do you think that if the portal is there when you were playing, maybe you don't leave Georgia, you had a lot of success early, but how do you think it would have affected your team around it at that time?
I don't know. That was like 4,000 years ago. So I have no clue. But I mean, I remember going into my junior year after winning the SEC championship. And we had like zero starts on our offensive line. And we could have fixed that right away. And that would have been nice because I don't know if anybody remembers this, but our defense was always good and our offense sucked every year. So it wasn't frustrating at all, I promise. But so I think you fix that. You immediately, you know, get better on the offensive line. Maybe you win enough to be in the national championship hunt as opposed to, you know, being in the SEC championship game. So I think it just, again, it gives you a chance every year. I don't think there's any rebuilding years anymore because you can go fix huge needs immediately with two or three starters. And listen, you, Landon Dickerson last year is a guy that he transferred from F. He's played for, you saw what he did in college and he was great. Now he comes over and he kills it with Bama. So I think that it's already been, the transfer thing's already been a big deal with graduate transfers now. And now you get a free hall pass. You, the thing that sucks, by the way, if you talk to just about anybody that went to college, if you, when you go to college and you're away from your parents for the first time, it sucks. Yeah. Newsflash. I'm home. I was 45 minutes away and my baby butt was still upset. Like, so you can imagine people that go even further away. Well, now you think about it and you're in college and it's hard because it sucks. It did. I remember calling my mom and dad. I was like, dude, this is terrible. Like, my coach is mean. And my mom and dad were like, suck it up. Don't really care. A lot of mom and dads aren't going to say that nowadays. So guess what happens? Okay, we'll just go over here. You're going to deal with the same exact thing again, but you just don't know any different. So what about coaches that leave jobs to go to another job now? Take their whole room with them if they want. Yeah. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, y'all want to come? Like, I just – it's interesting. It's not going to create more parity. People want more parity. This isn't going to create more parity.
And Brent, you and I talk about that all the time, that there's only probably 7 or 8 teams every year going into it that have a realistic shot of really winning a national championship based on their talent and their schedules and just the way that things work out. And that number could be reducing at this rate.
Very much so. And especially the way the game has evolved, with the way the game has evolved and made it an offensive game. And the fact that now the best offensive players are going to the best programs, that's making it to where that pool is shrinking very, very much so.
7 to 8, huh? That's generous.
I mean,
Bama, Clemson, and then throwing three or four names. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I covered local news on that 2013 Auburn years. So I always just allow for something like that. That if Auburn things went right, I don't know if they have the talent, but if they
what so they can watch somebody else win a national title. They weren't there either, were they? Or was that the year they actually won?
I mean, no, they didn't win it that year, but they got there against Florida State. Yeah, I'm saying
that's right.
They fell their weight, but they didn't have the talent that year to do it. It just, you know, when you have the kick six and then the tip against Georgia, then.
Well, you know, say with the transfer portal, though, like I liken it now, like he was talking about the rich getting richer. I liken it to like buyout guys in the NBA who go and, you know, play the last bit of the season with the Lakers or you know, the top teams in the NBA, or the trade deadline for Major League Baseball, which forever years, you know, for all those years, the Yankees would go get the best guy on the trade market, that kind of thing. And it's kind of like that, where the best of the best are picking and choosing a few here, a few there. And it's definitely going to make it interesting for those guys. Do you think, I guess, now that you feel a little better about the secondary, who are you watching on the front, along the defensive front, that makes that secondary hopefully a little bit better from a, you know, given the inexperience still?
I was kind of excited to see if, and I remember talking to Trey about this, Trey Scott, defensive line coach. I remember talking to him about it a couple months ago, and I was like, what are you going to do in the secondary? What's up with the secondary? Because there was a guy coming into town, so we had talked and exchanged back and forth. And he was like, at some point, our guy's got to go make plays. And I see a lot of guys that can make plays and a lot of guys that are big, strong, athletic, that can move. You're going to have plenty of depth. I think the Anderson component will be interesting to watch and see where he falls in the mix. But when you got 88 and 99, like 44, who, by the way, just remember 4 and 44, Walker and Smith,
yeah,
they haven't gone through spring ball
once. This was their first.
This is their first time. So, and Walker's never been healthy. So he's always been dealing with the wrist. I mean, last year he was training in the gym. He couldn't even do anything at our place. So he's, I just think it's going to be filthy. A bunch of guys that can rotate in that are big and strong, that it just gives you so much versatility and so many things that you can do. And again, it's not about like the Jordan Davis component.
No.
He's not going to get to the quarterback. No, that's not his thing. But he allows you to have more people that can be on the field that can cover, more people that can be on the field that can go get the quarterback. Not him, but he is eating everyone, like for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner. He's just eating them. Like, it just creates a mass right in the middle. Nobody moves his big butt off the ball. So that's, I think if you're a Georgia fan, that's the most exciting part is the defensive line. Like you watch that group and it's going to eat and dominate games. And I think the more you spread out the game of football, which we've done, we've become more spread, the more emphasis it puts right there in the middle and who can dominate up front. And I don't see a situation like Bama couldn't pound Georgia last year. They had to be very balanced and make plays and, you know, they made a couple big plays when they needed them, but we made them earn it more than anybody by far. So I think that you're going to make everybody really earn every possession. And then if you can have what you have on the other side where you say bombs away, Arian Smith and Gilbert and my God, run the football. I mean, Milton, I think is going to be an animal this year. I think he's going to have a good breakout season. I will say this. If there's a question mark, how good is the offensive line going to be? You've recruited monsters, but are they going to be monsters? Because
and who's your best five?
There is no weakness in the offense except for the offense. There is no question mark for me. Like plenty of running backs. Quarterback is the best dude you've had in a while. Receivers, playmakers, you got them all. So how can the offensive line be dominant like they were years ago when we made the Rose Bowl run and the national championship run where we could just pound you? I mean, we could hit you in the mouth. And I'd love to be able to do that. Bama could do that last year. They didn't have to surprise you. They were going to smash you in the face when they needed to with Najee. And can we do the same thing?
Well, that's what Brent, you and I talk about this all the time. Get the lead with the pass, show you can be explosive, but then throw the hammer down with a running back at the gut that you can get minimum 4 yards of carry and then explode. And that's what.
And we didn't even do that with JT, by the way. We didn't have, even against bad teams, that the ground game was not dominant. And I didn't think the offensive line was great by any stretch. I thought they had to earn, the backs had to earn too much, like even against Missouri and those, like, JT got hit too much for my liking. I think it should be easier than that. It shouldn't have been that hard. And that will be, listen, a year in the system, everybody more comfortable. You hope that offensive line, because offensive line is the, out of all the positions in all of football, offensive line is the least important to be the most individualized great talent. They have to work well together. They're the most important unit together, not individual talent.
And have no weakness, basically.
Yeah. Minimize the weakness. If you have five guys up front that are good, you don't have to have five maulers and animals, but that are good, that work together, that communicate, that pass off games, that you can be very good. You can have a great offensive line. You don't have to have – Notre Dame does it every year. I mean, they do it every single year. They're phenomenal at it. They're probably the best in the nation at it. And you see the guys getting drafted left and right because of it.
It's why Thomas and Kindley work so well together at Georgia. And you see that both of those turn into pro guys. But, I mean, Kindley wasn't a first-round pick or anything, but he was just kind of a glue guy, offensive line. Yeah,
very much so.
All right, Brent, anything else you want to ask before we wrap this? Because I know you are at the beach, so I don't want to take all of your time.
Hey, man, too much excitement.
One thing, you know, you talked about the mulligan, that you basically get the one mulligan. How much do you think you talk about the strength of the defensive line? How much do you think the strength of Georgia's defensive line plays into game one? Given what we saw, how Ohio State
dominated them,
basically physically dominated Clemson.
Yeah. And I think, and this is going to sound really crazy because people are going to go, well, did you see Uiagalelei when he came in? He threw for 4,000 yards. Here's what I saw from him to think. I don't think he's Watson or Lawrence. I think he can be really good.
Yes.
Those guys are different. Those guys, obviously, you see first pick, top 15, top 20 pick with Deshaun. Like, those guys were – I think Clemson's offense works best with a quarterback that can really run. DJ's a big, strong kid. He's not overly athletic. I was very underwhelmed with his running. His throwing's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Their system is more – spit the ball out on the perimeter. Very few. They're not going to attack in the middle of the field very often.
A lot of quick game,
which Justin Ross will be a challenge because you're talking about breaking in new guys.
Yeah.
That boy, good. He didn't play last year, and you kind of forget how good he was. He destroyed Bama the year before that as a freshman. So I think, you know, we'll get challenged week one, which will be fun. But I don't think Clemson's offense is going to be what we've seen unless, you know, they can be – I don't think they're overly physical. I don't think they've never been an overly physical offensive line. I feel like they've always beat you with finesse and speed on the perimeter.
And being great on the outside.
Yeah. Can they do that now? Who's their other guys that step up? It's a great challenge week one, but I do feel a lot better about it now when you start adding guys that they have experience. You know exactly what you're going to get from them. Because remember, your secondary coach coached him. So yes. Bringing him over obviously helps. But I just think you're in a good spot week one and a good chance to – by the way, you don't get a mulligan, but you earn a mulligan if you win that.
Yes.
You earn a much-needed mulligan later if you do lose in the SEC championship game to go, well, they already beat Clemson. Clemson won the ACC. We can go ahead and write that down. Like, that's set in stone. Clemson won the ACC. So
the next 5 years.
But we'll also find out about our offensive line because Brian Brussey and Miles Murphy and those guys – they're animals. So we'll figure out a lot about both offenses quickly.
A lot of people are going to talk about losing Trevor Lawrence and replacing him with Uwe Ungalale. I think ETN may be as big of a loss for Clemson as anything.
He was huge. Yeah.
You don't replace that production just easily.
No, especially when they needed him. Like last year, DJ hit Travis a million times. Yeah. I mean, his production soared without Trevor Lawrence. ETN became so valuable. And now who is that guy? Because
when they had what maybe they thought was with the Marcus Bowman, who's a 5-star kid.
He got him.
And then he's now playing for Florida.
That transfer portal.
That portal thing. Yes.
In part, it'll be like Jalen Dixon, right? He's from Georgia, small town Georgia.
Yes. They're going to find some guys. Yeah. Ross is the key, I think, for them offensively and what their season becomes. It's how effective is he, and can he come and play, and can he get back to what he was a couple of years ago?
I hope he does, man. That's a scary injury he had. So if he can get back to anything like that, that would be
great. Well, I hope he does too. Just game 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 on. I hope the rust is very prevalent week one.
Against Duke and Georgia Tech and all those other cats out
Kill
there.
Kill them. Go massacre them.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks for doing this down from parts unknown. We won't say where you're at. I don't even know, so I can't reveal it anyway.
We're not in Panama City at all.
No. We're not here playing baseball with our group of kids who are having fun and enjoying every day. We're not doing that at all.
I wouldn't be the first person to refer to Panama City as parts unknown.
No. It's getting better.
It's good. The beach is great.
That's Brent Rollins from Pro Football Focus and UGASports.com. That's David Pollack from ESPN and obviously former Georgia great. And I'm Dane Young from UGASports.com. Thanks for listening and check out our content on our YouTube channel and our podcast feeds.